The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host, guest, random reptoid, or chupacabra may not necessarily reflect those of AM 950 Radio, its affiliates, or its sponsors. Now, it's time to step into the unknown. There are things people experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in the corner, flickering of the lights, a disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story, share your experience. Because this isn't just your story, this is our story. This is Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken.
And this is Ghostbox Radio on AM 950, where every night we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, and so much more. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me tonight. Happy Monday, everybody. Well, it's our favorite day of the week, isn't it? I bet you're all just really excited to be back at it and everything else. But let me tell you, just a mere four more days until we're back at the weekend again, right? Actually, really, I really dislike that. I really hate, living for the weekend. You know what I mean? I just want to enjoy every day that I can. So, just try to bear through it, find something good every day to enjoy, right? And just go with it, right? So I got to tell you all something that happened today that I found very interesting. And, obviously my first instinct is to say this is paranormal, but that's not the case. We don't know what it is. It could just be something very simple. But for those of you who watch my program on Facebook, Thursday and Fridays, I do the program from my home. And you might see that I have like a reel-to-reel player in the background behind me. I have, because I'm scary and spooky, I also have a Raggedy Ann doll, just like Annabelle, behind me. And then I have two candlesticks that are lit. Well, let me throw a little bit of a secret on that. They are not actually real candlesticks. I can't afford real fire. But what they are is that you put a battery in them and you take out the candle from the holder, and there is a on and off switch at the very bottom, like underneath it, that turns the candle on. And after Friday's show, as I always do, I take the candles out of the holder, I turn them both off, and I put them back. They're off. Saturday, they're off. Sunday, they're off. And then today, I come downstairs in my house, and I look into that room, and one of the candles is on, and it's the one next to the Raggedy Ann doll. And that is very interesting. I do not know how that's possible. I do not know what made that happen, but it's bizarre because it's not easy to turn on. And I turned it off, and sure enough, the button is to the on where I had it to the off on Friday. So I don't know what's going on there. But tangentially to that story, Saturday, a bunch of boxes fell down in there. And I thought it was my cat Linus. And it could still very well be, but now I'm starting to wonder, was that the case or not? Finally, to this story, Char, actually, the day I brought that doll into the house, the minute I went outside, grabbed that doll and brought it in because I got it from Etsy, she messages me and she says, do you know, and I can't remember the person's name. She gave me a man's name. Do you know this person? Because that spirit has just entered your house at the very same time I brought the doll in. So what am I trying to say here? Am I trying to say that the doll, that's a very big cliche, isn't it? That the doll's haunted. I don't know. But that light being on sure was something that got me very, very interesting. And I just really wanted to kind of share that with everybody before we move on to the death, because I just wanted to get it out in the open. I just wanted to get it out there. You know how it is. Kind of exciting. We'll see. I'll let you know if anything else happens with that over the next couple days or so. It's currently off. Quite frankly, it could stay off. That's all I want. But that is my paranormal studio story that I needed to share with everybody. So from there, we're going to move on to our guest tonight, who we've had on before. I'm really excited to have her on again. And there's another reason why I'm really excited to have her on. Madame Pamita is a Ukrainian-American witch teacher, best-selling and award-winning author, candlemaker, spellcaster, and tarot reader. She has a popular YouTube channel for teaching witchcraft. She hosts the Magic and the Law of Attraction and Baba Yaga's Magic podcasts, and she is the author of Baba Yaga's Book of Witchcraft, the Book of Candle Magic, and Madame Pamita's Parlor of Wonders. Whoops, I screwed up there. Magical Tarot. And she's also proprietress of the online spiritual apothecary, The Parlor of Wonders, and lives in Santa Monica, California. You can find her at parlorofwonders.com. Madame Pamita, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Oh, hi, Greg. I'm so glad to be back here. We had such a great time last time.
Absolutely.
We lived together. So, yeah.
Thank you.
And I love that story, by the way.
Yeah,
oh my
well,
gosh, what a great story.
I'm glad you love it. I don't know what to make of it, quite honestly. But, I'll let you know if anything happens with that. But the news, the real news here, though, tonight is that you are wearing quite the t-shirt that is very much local to Minneapolis, especially Northeast Minneapolis.
Yes, I'm wearing a Kremerchuk's shirt, which I picked up last time I was in Minneapolis this early spring of this year. And I have wonderful friends in Minneapolis, and we all had such a good time wandering around, eating great food, going to bookstores. I just love Minneapolis. I try to make it at least once a year in the good weather. I've been in the middle of winter too, so I think I've earned my stripes.
Yeah, that's so true. And if you can make it through a visit in Minneapolis in January or February, I think you could do just about anything.
Yeah. For a California girl, I always say to my friend Sid, I always say, oh my gosh, I'm a little orchid. I need my warmth, but I love Minneapolis and Minneapolis people and Kremerchuk's is amazing Ukrainian food. There's nothing like it. So good.
And for those of you who don't know, Kremerchuk is over in Northeast Minneapolis. It's been there for many, many, many years. I mean, me growing up in the Northeast Minneapolis area, we had gone there mainly for Easter. We'd go there quite a bit for Easter. And Pam, one of the things that we talked about prior to going on the air was my rampage about Nye's, which is pretty much kitty corner from Kremerchuk's. That was another staple of me growing up. My parents liked to go to this kind of supper club,
yeah,
sort of place. And boy, we had we'd have a lot of fun going to that place, but they tore it down. And anyone out there in the Twin Cities who dares tell me, oh, but they rebuilt it, oh, they made a new version of it in the same spot, stop it. Just stop it. I don't want to hear it. It's not dirty walls. It's not grungy, you know, anything. And most of all, you don't have, I could be wrong in this one, they certainly don't have that woman who did the Polish music and the organ music.
Yeah, the polka player, the accordion player. She was amazing. Yeah, I've been going to Minneapolis for, gosh, a long time now. And all these places I think are so precious, and it makes me a little sad that things are changing. But I guess that's what happens. So
that's progress. Yeah. That's what they tell us. It's progress.
Yeah.
Tonight we're going to be mainly talking about curses. I asked Madame Pamita if she could talk about curses tonight, because I don't know really anything about them. I thought it'd be an interesting conversation. For those of you who would like to take part in the conversation, we are streaming streaming live video on AM 950 Radio, as well as the Things Network and Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. Please go to that page and like it, but also go there and post your questions if you have any. And I know, Madame Pamita, you have you're streaming to some of your social media locations as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm streaming over to my YouTube channel. So, yeah.
How fun. Well, let's talk a little bit about, you know, as I said, let's have fun, talk about our subject tonight. But that seemed so weird to say. And, you know, that's me. Curses, you know, one of the things I'm, you know, as I'm trying to formulate what this show is, one of the things I was thinking about is like all the things that I've always been curious about. And one of them, you know, is curses. And is there a difference? And I know a lot of these questions I'm going to ask are going to sound very like rudimentary and very, very much a novice. And I certainly am. So, but I'm hoping that it helps other people out there who've always wanted to know as well. Like a spell and a curse, are they the same thing?
Well, spells can be done, you know, for any purpose. I mean, we can, curses would fall under the umbrella of spells. Sure. Certainly that would be, but you can also pick up curses from things like the evil eye. I would consider that to be a sub-genre of curse that isn't a spell. The difference between that is a curse, I would say, is something that is intentionally and maliciously sent towards someone, mm-hmm. versus an evil eye energy, which is also a negative energy and also can show up in many ways like a curse, but can be done intentionally, but often is done unintentionally. And that's usually because someone has envy or jealousy or has a bad feeling toward you. They may not wish you harm, but that envy or jealousy then affects you in some way. So
the evil eye is literally like you're talking about someone having some kind of strong emotion towards you, opposed to like some sort of like, say, a curse that's on some kind of object or something.
Oh, yeah. So you can curse an object. You can curse a person. You can curse a place. I mean, any of those can be absolutely cursed. But you could also equally put beneficial or good energy on something as well. So I often say to people that ask about curses, because I have clients that come to me and they think, you know, there's a series of events that are happening, a series of unfortunate events that are happening in their life. Mm-hmm. And they are feeling that there may be something energetically that's going wrong, that they're having bad luck, that they're having this. And so we might look with a tarot reading to see if it is indeed a curse, if it's something that someone maliciously sent to them, or if it's something that was just accidentally sent, or they just picked up some stray negativity. So all of these things could fall under that umbrella of curses, but they're sort of different genres of curses, I would say.
Sure. And that was something I was going to ask was, would you be able to tell if someone came to you and said, I feel like that there's a curse on me, would you be able to tell? And it sounds like that you could.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, the vast majority of times people may feel that they're cursed, but that may not be the case. So I'm not one of these people that every bad thing that happens to you is a curse. We have to go through life and there's ups and downs in life. But when someone is having like repeated, very unusual sort of negative experiences that are happening repeatedly in one area of their life, or in even sometimes in many areas of their life, we can take a look at that. Often I'll get a sense of it, or we can look at tarot cards and we can see where this is coming from, what it is, and so on. So I do diagnose that. So that's a way we can look at objects, we can look at places, we can look at people, but most of the time people are looking at their own lives and what's happening in their own lives and to see, like, is there a curse and where did it come from?
Yeah, so. I mean, that makes sense. And I mean, I suppose, like, a lot of people would be, like, coming to you with, like, everything is going wrong, right? Everything, mm-hmm. it's been going well, and over the span of so many weeks or months or whatever, nothing seems to be going right, or that there is a funk over me, or I just feel I use the word like oppressed or something, mm-hmm. like that. I mean, is that kind of in the area?
Yeah. And I think of it this way, you know, people say, well, what, you know, how is that different than just, you know, it's a streak of bad luck. I mean, we can even look at a streak of bad luck as it could be. The origin of that could be a curse, or could just be something, you know, just by flipping the coin, you know, that they've had some kind of, you know, bad luck incidents happening one after the other. But I often say this, you know, people that don't believe curses are real, I say, imagine this, you walked into a room and somebody's just for no reason shouts at you, yells at you, flips you off or something like that.
Yeah.
Does that affect your day? When something like that happens?
Absolutely, yes.
Of course it affects your day. It can affect you in deep ways. It's very, very unusual for someone to be able to brush off a big blast of negative energy that comes your way. In fact, you know, it often then results in that you are feeling agitated or angry or upset, and then you may do something, you know. So energies of negativity and likewise positivity can be spread just like we spread the cold or a flu or COVID or anything like that. So I think of these things, if you've experienced a situation where you feel like you were attacked in some way and it shook you and it affected your day, then you understand that energy is real. Nobody can see it, but you feel it and you know it. So I think all of us have had an experience like that where some negativity that was unwarranted came our way and we felt the effects of it in our life.
Absolutely.
That's what a curse is. Yeah.
Absolutely. It makes more sense. And I want to take a break. But what I also want to do is talk more about the energy factor to this as well, because I think that is a point that needs to be made a little bit further. So what we're going to do, let's take our break. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with Madam Pamita, and we're talking about curses. Stick around. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and we are talking with Madam Pamita, and we're talking about curses. And in a way, I think this is all part of what you do in the sense of total knowledge or whatnot. But you are very much the opposite of curses. You're about love and light and good and stuff. Do you find yourself having these conversations often?
I do, you know, actually I do, because I have clients, I work with clients, I teach students how to do spells, witchcraft and spells. And then I have clients, of course, that come to me, want me to do spell work for them or teach them how to do spells and so on. So, you know, curses come up often. It's not a topic that I talk about once every year or something like that.
Right. So it's part of the job, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, one of the things that we were talking about in the last segment was about energy. And I think that you answer that very well. But I feel like that I want to talk about it a little bit more is, you know, I have somebody who I recently got a reading from, who I admire and respect quite a bit. But she had said to me that she doesn't believe in curses. Do you see any reason why someone, especially in the field that you're in, wouldn't believe that curses exist?
Well, I think it's probably, and I can't speak for someone else's, you know, path or what they believe in or anything like that, but I do know that there is, I think it's probably, I'm guessing, a reaction to the fact that many people think that everything is a curse. Not everything is a curse. And so, you know, people think I stub my toe, my gosh, I'm cursed. You know, that they think everything is a curse. So I know that that curses exist. I've experienced this, and I've experienced it with clients, and I've removed curses. So if something is bad and you can do some action to remove it and you see a difference, I think that to me is the evidence that this is real. But I also think that there's some unethical scam artists that are out there, honestly, that if you know, go in for a $5 palm reading, how is that person making any money to pay their rent if they're only doing $5 palm readings? Well, it's because you go in there, they look at your palm and they're like, oh, you've got this dark cloud over you, you're cursed, this and that. To remove the curse, you need to, you know, give me $1,000 and I'll do this thing. Yeah. You know, I think that's the reaction of that. So some people react in that way of like, there's no such thing as curses. And it's also a perfectly legitimate belief. If you don't want to believe it, I'm not here to convince anybody that it's real. I just know my own experience and what I've experienced and seen and worked with and seen the results of doing the work of removing those. So, yeah.
Well, and so I don't mean to sound like a warmonger or someone who wants to go after people, but my research did go down a hole of like how bad can curses get? I mean, what do you see happening with curses? I mean, how bad can it affect somebody?
Well, I mean, there are curses and there have been things like cursing, I mean, extreme curses. There's been things like cursing people. There's a spell called a doom spell, spelled D-U-M-E, mm-hmm. stands for death unto my enemies. So there's a curse that you're wishing someone to die. That is a curse. I mean, that is a real curse. And that kind of thing can have obviously a detrimental effect on someone. There can also be curses that are, creating havoc in your life, a horrible havoc in your life, or ancestral curses where you're not only cursing the person, but you're cursing their children and their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And I have people that sometimes come to me that have ancestral curses that it's not anything that was even theirs. Yeah. It was something that belonged to their great-grandparents or their grandparents. And so if you think about the old country, you know, my grandparents are from Ukraine. Curses are real. I mean, this is a real part of Slavic magic, is to prevent curses and to get rid of them. That's a big part of Eastern European magic. So, yeah.
So when and doing the curses, and once again, I feel like that I am making myself sound worse than I am, but I'm just curious, when doing curses, what if a lay person does a curse? Is that even like a possibility, or does it need to be through somebody like a witch of some kind?
Well, I think everybody can, it's possible for anybody. As I mentioned before, there are things like the evil eye, and a person may unintentionally be sending negative energy towards someone. The evil eye exists in Mediterranean culture. It's in Eastern European culture. It's in Latin American culture. We see this malojo and, you know, evil eye and all of this stuff in mm-hmm. Middle Eastern culture as well. So when we talk about evil eye, it's somebody looking at somebody with envy. So with deep envy, like let's say you have a great job and somebody's, you know, struggling and they're looking at you like, why did he get a great job and I don't have that job? That deep envy is an energy that you can pick up if you're not, you know, let's say being protective, wearing protective talismans, or working to sort of shield yourself in some way. Talismans are a great way to shield yourself from this. So, you know, I think you can have people unintentionally cursing, even if they're not trying to curse someone. They're just having a deep envious feeling. But a layperson can cause damage. Just like, listen, I always say magic, you know, people say, well, isn't magic evil? Isn't magic wrong? And I say, magic isn't good or bad. It's a tool. You can use it for good. You can use it for evil. So like a screwdriver, is a screwdriver bad? No, a screwdriver can be good because it can help you put together your IKEA furniture, right? Yeah. But a screwdriver can also be used as a murder weapon. Mm-hmm. So why are we blaming the screwdriver? It's the person wielding the screwdriver. How are they going to use it for good, or are they going to use it for bad? But that's true of a lot of things. Words, power, money can all be all energy can all be used for good or evil. So a layperson could do a curse, but would that be effective? Do they know what they're doing? I don't know. I think what happens a lot of times, people get very hot, very angry, very they have a lot of feelings and they feel like they need revenge, or they feel like, you know, they need to punish somebody, and they don't just wait it out until they see how they feel a week from now, 2 weeks from now, a month or 6 months from now. They want to act in the moment and they get that hot head. So, you know, it can happen.
And that can happen. And then if they do that curse, I mean, are they at risk because they don't know what they're doing? Like, is there a risk to have some sort of backlash from that?
Well, I do think that there is an effect that when you're giving out energy, it's, I wouldn't say that it's like going to reflect back on you, but it does take something from you. And I've seen I've known people who are very intent on doing lots and lots of courses, and they get depleted. They get spiritually depleted. I think this is an energy that you, I mean, myself, I, as you mentioned earlier, I don't do curses. I say, you know, I might be hot. I might be doing something. I might stop somebody from doing something harmful. I might bind somebody or do something to stop it, but I'm not going to, I'm very particular about that. That would take a lot for me to go down that road. Not to say I wouldn't go down that road or couldn't go down that road, but it isn't where I usually, that's not where I play, you know?
It's kind of, kind of a mental state then, basically.
Yeah.
You know, just.
I want to preserve my energy, and I want to bring others up. I want to bring myself up. So I don't really go down that road very much.
And probably a wise move considering what, you know, what you are and the type of spellcaster you are and everything. I mean, you're just, everything about you is good. Everything about you is positivity, positive energy. And that's probably the way to live, quite honestly. I mean, it just, and you know, makes me wonder, without people even realizing it, how many curses, if you, you know, for lack of better word, how many curses are out there just from people's envy and people being upset and just, like you said, being hot-headed. And I don't even mean people trying to put a curse on someone, but just because we as human beings, our first instinct for a lot of people is to get angry first.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think, you know, we're talking about this, but I will say this, you know, people, it can sound like very scary. If you think like, oh my gosh, every time I go out, I'm susceptible to a curse. It's, you know, how can I even live my life? I've got to be the boy in the plastic bubble. But this is the thing. I often liken curses, and the vast majority of curses are like stepping in dog poop.
Right.
That is not a pleasant experience. Nobody wants to step in dog poop.
Yep.
If you don't do anything about it, if you step in dog poop and then you go into your house and you walk all over your carpet, you've got a big mess. If you don't do anything about it, it is a big mess. But if you step in and do some work to spiritually cleanse, or you do some work to protect yourself, you do these things, you can get rid of it. It's like washing off your shoe before you go into the house. So that's why spiritual hygiene or cleansing, spiritually cleansing, is the solution. It's not hard. It's literally as easy as washing off your shoe. But the problem is most people don't realize that they've stepped in dog poop when they are being cursed, and they track it into their house. And that's when we see this chain of events where they have bad luck in their relationship, then bad luck with their money and their job, and bad luck with this and that and the other. So,
That's a really interesting point, I think, because as, for example, turning it to the paranormal, like a paranormal investigation, a lot of us will cleanse after we get done with the investigation. That's just what we do. I know a good majority of the people I know do regular cleansings and whatnot, you know, especially like the energy practitioners, spiritual worker, all that. But the idea of just kind of thinking about everyday life, did I have a bad day? Well, you know what? Maybe just cleansing yourself, you know, might just make you feel better. Get some, you know, sage or Florida water, whatever it is that you use. I mean, I would assume that, you know, anytime doing it on a regular basis isn't a bad thing then, for the mundane, I should say, for the mundane parts of your life.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it's very, very simple. This is why I think like your friend that is saying, well, there are no curses out there, is as a rejection of what these scammy people say. They want to charge you thousands and thousands of dollars to remove a curse. I mean, the stories I could tell you of my clients coming to me and saying, someone told me I have an ancestral curse on me and I have to burn a candle for each year that I'm alive, and I'm 36 years old and each candle costs $700. I'm like, are those candles made out of gold?
Oh,
I mean, what's going on here? This is somebody scamming you. And I have to often talk people down from that place where someone's created fear for them, and now they start to believe it. I think that in and of itself is a curse, when you start to feel disempowered because someone told you this. It's as simple as putting some sea salt and some Epsom salt in a bath and going in a bath with a mindful state and saying, I remove everything that is not of me is is not on me anymore. And so you can take that energy. You can use incense. You can use a smudge stick or an herb bundle and burn that. These are all traditions that go back hundreds, if not thousands of years, have worked for thousands of years. And we know they worked. So there you go. It's not hard to do, to clear and cleanse and protect and do that. And that's kind of spiritual hygiene. It's just like washing your hands. If you don't wash your hands and you start eating food with your hands, you might have shook hands with somebody who had the flu, you know? So
absolutely,
it's the same kind of hygiene,
well,
right?
And also, I've heard you go to Komarczyk's and you get some of their brats, and that also cleanses you, is what I understood as well. So that's, you know, but so if you don't have a Komarczyk's near you, then you're in trouble. I will say though, and I'm being very open here. I haven't told anyone this before. In my early 20s, I was scammed by one of those type of mediums where, you know, they play off of your belief system. Like, you're going to help me. You're going to, you know, I trust you. And, you know, they had the candles that they would light, and each candle was like $250 or something like that. And, you know, you'd think a smart person would be like, well, after one, even them saying it, you're going to be like, get lost. But, you know, when you're new into it, you don't know anything. And it's just, it is a good reminder. We've not talked about this on the show before, that there, you know, what to watch for in the scam. And maybe someday I'll bring on a few people and we can talk about just in general what to look out for a scam. But yeah, this is one of those that, you know, was on Nicollet Avenue in downtown Minneapolis, in this little building that's, I think, adjacent to Let It Be Records, which is no longer there. And you went upstairs, and it's amazing I even did it, because it was shady at that time. It felt shady at that moment, but yet there's that power of what's going to happen if I don't do this. And that's a real abuse of power, really.
Yeah. I mean, oftentimes when people are going in for a reading or a session, it's because they're in distress in some way. They're feeling lonely, or some bad incident happened and they want to see what's up ahead. Not always the reading, but oftentimes that is the case. And my advice to everyone is, if your reader or your person, your spiritual advisor, is making you feel afraid or uncomfortable, that is your intuition telling you get the heck out of there and don't listen to what they say. Get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. You know, try and find it, and find somebody that makes you feel good, makes you feel comfortable, makes you feel empowered, can offer. Like, oftentimes when I talk to people about these things, I'm saying, look, here are the things you can do with things that you have in your cupboard. It can cost pennies to do this spiritual work, and you don't need to have expensive things if, you know, you don't need to do that.
And I would assume too, like, any sort of like promise of getting to what you want in exchange for obscene amount of money has to be, I mean, clearly wasn't a red flag for me when I was 23, but for anyone who's paying attention, if they're like, yeah, well, we can make that go away, we just need $3,000 from you, that should be the biggest red flag of them all, I think.
Yeah, they need to. And also, too, a lot of times these places will not show you evidence that they actually did anything. You need to see evidence. You know, they can just say, oh, yeah, I lit a candle, or show you a picture of a candle that's lit. If it doesn't have your name next to it, if it doesn't identify, or you can't see that candle in some way, then it's, you know, they're probably not doing anything. And so even though you're going in with good intention and someone could do some work for you, they're probably not. And that's the sad situation that we're dealing with. But you know what? I say this, every profession has great people, and every profession has scammy people.
Yeah.
You across the board.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And the only thing I remember is when I would leave the place, I could hear like uproarious laughter from inside when I was leaving. I thought someone told him a good joke. No, actually, that never happened. But still, they might as well have. Let's do this. Let's take another break here. When we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with Madame Pamita. We're going to talk more about curses, what's coming up for her, and everything else. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on AM 950. And there's still time to get tickets over for the Dave Schrader event over at the Anderson House August 18th through 20th. We've been talking about this. We do have a handful of tickets left. As we've been mentioning to folks, the Anderson House is sold out, but we're still selling tickets to the event. If you buy a ticket, we will give you some options that you could check out for lodging. Once again, this is in Wabasha, Minnesota, a beautiful location. Dave has never investigated there before. I think that those who are going to be able to go, I think you're going to have a great time. And like I said, a couple tickets left to go. Why don't you go there, pick it up, 18th through 20th in August. We are less than a month away. I cannot believe it. Go to charvinity.com and find the events on the website. It's right at the top there, and you can get your tickets that way. So lots to look forward to there. We're talking with Madam Pamita, and we've been talking about curses, and I wanted to kind of, there was a couple comments, at least one I wanted to kind of talk with you about on the chat here over at Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken on Facebook. And Nicole had said that I've done curse removals, saw the energy lift for a week max, and then the heaviness returned. It seemed like it always comes back. Do you find that at all?
Well, that can happen. And what I often recommend to people when they're doing cleansing, spiritual cleansing, is that they also do protection work afterwards. Because like our analogy of the dog poop, if the dog poop is there and you're stepping in it, you got to have some kind of protection, right? So if you're, it may be, you know, if you're finding that it's happening over and over again, it might be, I would sort of start to track, maybe even having a journal and tracking like when it lifts and when it comes back again. Is it related to a space that you're going into? Is there some place that you're going into and you're picking up that energy? Is it a person that you're around that is you're getting that energy from? So it could be anything. So I would recommend doing, you know, you can move through life with lots of protection and not pick up a lot of this energy if you have that spiritual protection. And that could be as simple as wearing a talisman or a charm. It could be, you know, an evil eye charm, for example, or like in Slavic magic, we wear coral or amber jewelry as protection. You can also, you know, use like a spiritual oil. Like I have an oil that we make called Powerful Protection. It makes you invisible to your enemies, spiritually invisible. You're not actually invisible, but you're spiritually invisible to your enemies so that they can't get in there and get that negativity toward you and attached to you. So I would start journaling to like see when does it happen again and if there's some kind of common denominator of when it comes back. But in the meantime, you can also be wearing talismans or working with other products that are about spiritual protection.
Now, Della Ann from YouTube says, hello, beautiful. I guess my response to that is hello. But what are you laughing for? Anyway.
You want arm wrestle me for that comment?
Hey, can't we both be beautiful?
Yes, I think we are.
in our own strange ways, I guess I'm talking about myself with that. I don't even have a Komarchik shirt. I didn't even know they sold them. It makes sense. I mean, I don't.
Oh, my gosh. Well, listen, I got this one because it's in the I'm Ukrainian. And yeah. It's in the Ukrainian colors. And on the back, it says Kovbasa, which is in Cyrillic, which is the word for sausage. But they have other, because, you know, they sell food from all different countries.
Yeah.
They have different colors and different words on the back. I think I bought one from one of my kids and it said beef sausage or something on the back of it. Yeah.
Well, and I have a Polish background. So, you know, definitely.
Pierogi. You know,
pierogies.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. The sad thing is, and I've always feel bad for my mother, was that we're told in the family that she made the best Polish food, and I cannot stand any Polish food. I can, no matter how much I try, cabbage rolls, just pierogies are okay. I'm embarrassed to say that. I feel so bad because she makes the best, she had made the best food, and both my sister.
You should be embarrassed.
I am.
Great food.
It is. I know. And both my sister and I, maybe my sister now over time, maybe her taste buds had changed, but I just never, and I don't like cabbage. I just don't like it. No matter how much I've tried it, you know, all of that stuff. I can't, sauerkraut and all that stuff. No thank you.
Gosh, you must be a super taster. You taste all the bitter stuff.
I do.
People.
I do. I have quite the palate. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but I have quite the palate. So I want to talk a second. You know, you, I would assume, identify as you say a witch, a teacher, best selling. You know, is that white witch, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't use the term white and black as, you know, that to me is kind of a delineation. People say white witch or gray witch or black witch, you know, but I think it also has a connotation that when we look at white as good and black as bad, it feeds into racism, right?
Sure.
So I don't like using that terminology. I would say I'm Glinda the Good Witch, you know?
Right,
who was kind of, you know, She was no slouch when it comes to witchcraft. So I look at myself and I'm like, what do I want to create in the world? What legacy do I want to leave? And I want to bring good into the world. Mm-hmm. I want this world to be better. You know, that saying, you know, when you go camping, leave it better than you found it. Take away the trash, you know, take away those things. So that's kind of my philosophy in life is I want to make this world a better place, not wreak destruction. There's no need for it. It doesn't solve anything. It doesn't, you know. So, yeah.
What do you think about then witches I identify as gray witches, or let's say ones who kind of don't, you know, they don't care. It's the way I've kind of look at it is like whatever side, whatever needs to happen that might be on either good or bad side. What do you think of about that?
Well, I think one of the things that for me is so empowering about following a witchcraft path is that you get to decide for you. Mm-hmm. I always say there's no pope of witchcraft. There's nobody on high that is telling you, you can do this or you can do that. Now you might belong to, you know, a spiritual path that does have rules, but for the general person that is an individual, solitary practitioner who's doing their magic, they get to decide what's right for them. Mm-hmm. So while I might look at that and I go, oh, that's kapusta soup. It's got cabbage in it. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah.
So Greg is like, I don't want cabbage soup. I'm like, bring me all the cabbage soup. Right. So I think that it's, you know, I think birds of a feather flock together. I usually flock together with other positive people, people that are negative, people that are vindictive, vengeful, and things like that. I'm not interested in hanging around them in general. And so I have no judgment on their personal choices. Maybe I would wish that they would be a different way, but I'm not going to criticize or condemn them because I have not walked in their shoes.
Sure.
I haven't. So for me, I can make the choices for me. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about a path of magic, a path of witchcraft, is that you get to decide your own ethics. But and in deciding your own ethics, you don't have something handed down to you. You do have to examine things and make choices and choose a path. So you can be Luke Skywalker, you can be Darth Vader. It's your choice, you know, whichever one you want to be.
I feel like that the message of the day is kind of mind your own business in a sense, you know, and kind of stay in your lane. And I don't mean that as like so constrictive, but it certainly feels like, you know, worry about your own stuff before you worry about others. And that's it seems like a good energy sort of lesson to kind of be learned, I think.
Yeah. And I think it's wonderful that there are some beautiful things about looking at other people's practices, looking at what other people do and deciding for yourself, that's not for me or that is for me, mm-hmm. you know? I think that's true. You know, I would even say so far as like, if someone chooses a religion that they follow that I might not agree with, it's okay. It's not I don't have to do it. It's their choice to make
right.
what their path is, their spiritual path is. As long as you, like you said, they stay in their lane. When they start then say, well, you can't do this and you're bad. And then we get into witch burning times and all of that stuff. That's not great. But, you know, other than that, I think, you know, it's like we can all coexist. We can all coexist. It's possible to do that.
Yeah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was also curious, you know, we were talking earlier about just, you know, knowing, you know, wondering if you have a curse, wondering if, you know, how things are. Say that you don't know one way or the other if you have a curse, and you're just feeling like you might have something. And, you know, I've heard of spells like return to sender spells, stuff like that. Do those have any value to them?
Those are great spells. We call them reversing spells, return to sender spells. They're very, what I call, very clean magic, because it's like the old playground thing. I am rubber, you are glue. Whatever you say bounces off of me and sticks to you, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So if someone is, it's a very clean way of working, because if somebody is not, like, let's say you get, you think, oh my gosh, this person is sending me something really negative. They're cursing me. They're horrible, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to do a reversing spell. Say that person is innocent. They're not doing anything wrong. Then if their energy is neutral toward you or positive toward you, and you do a return to sender, you're not sending anything negative back to them. So you're not cursing them. You're only sending back their energy to them, right?
Right.
We see this in a lot of spiritual practices. I mean, from feng shui with bagua mirrors, mm-hmm. which are mirrors meant to send back any negativity sent your way. So this is a very clean way of working, because it's foolproof. Whatever they're sending to you, you're sending back. If they're sending good or neutral back, you're sending good or neutral back. If they're sending something negative, you're sending their negativity back to them, and let them deal with their own negativity. But it's clean. You're not cursing them. You're just sending their energy back. So
the one that I've seen before and I have used in the past also has it where it's, you know, you're sending that energy back, and it states if they send it, whatever energy they send back comes only as love and light, only as, and, you know, and I really always thought that was very, very good and very much in the vein of where I want to be in this community. Of being able to, like, it's about redemption, I guess, in a way. Just being able to, let's just be good people, right? And I think it's almost more powerful to do it energetically, you know, that you can have that aura, you can be the best person you can be. I just, you know, it just, there's so much negativity that I love that in that return to sender spell that I had, that a friend gave me, that it was whatever came back comes back as love, regardless of their intention.
Yeah, that's lovely. That's lovely.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is nice. And, you know, and I know a fair number of witches, and I know a fair number of mediums, and I find it very fascinating that everyone is very positive. You know, if you do run across anyone who has more ill intent or anything, I haven't seen it yet, and I've been doing this for a very long time. So I find that good, and that I find that, you know, maybe your message might be slightly different than other people's message, but overall, it's the same. It's the same. You know, it might be some different words, might be some unique new takes that I haven't seen before. But at the end of the day, everyone is hoping for the same thing. And I think that's a real testament to that community.
Absolutely. I know amazing, amazing witches. And I cannot throw a rock without hitting an amazing witch in my world, at least, you know. Well, I surround myself with them. So
I was going to say that, like, energy, you've been talking about that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like attracts like, you know, so.
Like always attracts like. Now we have less than 2 minutes left. What are you working on right now? Any new books?
Yes, I got a new book coming out in September. It's called Cancer Witch, but it is about the astrological sign Cancer. So Ivo Dominguez Jr., who's an amazing, another amazing, wonderful, positive witch, and I love him so much. He authored this series of 12 books, one for each of the zodiac signs, but he partnered with another witch who was of that sign, who could give the perspective of that sign. So it's, we have a whole series. There's a whole series, Aries witch, Taurus witch, Gemini witch, Cancer witch, Leo witch, and so on. All of the signs have their own individual books. And so I was brought on board for the Cancer witch one because my son's sign is Cancer. I just had my birthday July 5th.
Wow.
And yeah, so that's what I was doing. That's coming out in September. They've already started dropping some of the books. I think Aries, Taurus, and Gemini are already out. The next three will be coming out in September, so including Cancer Witch.
And Nicole asks, is it based on Western or Vedic astrology?
It's based on Western astrology, which is what most people in the States, which is Llewellyn is the publisher. This is where we are and who we are. So this is, based on that.
No, that makes sense. Now, and then for anyone who wants to keep up on what you're doing, would you suggest going to parlorofwonders.com?
Yeah. So if you go to Parlor of Wonders, it's spelled the fancy way, P-A-R-L-O-U-R of Wonders. That's my headquarters. You can find me, a bunch of other amazing readers, talented readers. We do spell casting. We also make beeswax candles for spells. We make spell kits. We have supplies. We have workshops and classes. I teach tons of Zoom classes, and I occasionally teach live classes in person as well. We have all kinds of fun things. I have a Patreon that you can, it's called The Coven, and you can be in my coven and participate with me in fun ways. So there's lots and lots of fun things that are going on at the Parlor of Wonders.
Appreciate it very much. We got to go. We'll see everyone tomorrow. Take care, everyone.